It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A girl from West Virginia went to college at WVU, then MIT, and now she's spreading the gospel of science, engineering, technology, and math as Space Gal.
I think the coolest thing that I've ever done in my life as the Space Gal has been riding on the Vomit Comet, which is this plane that is quite literally an 8,000-foot roller coaster in the sky.
We'll hear more from Emily Calandrelli in just a few minutes. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. West Virginia education officials are kicking off a series of public hearings as part of preparations for an upcoming special legislative session. As Liz McCormick reports, the first of seven forums was held last night at Cabell Midland High School in Ona.
Other forums this week are scheduled for Tuesday night at Mount View High School in Welch, Wednesday at Capitol High in Charleston, and Thursday at Woodrow Wilson High in Beckley. Three final forums will be held in early April in Clarksburg, Wheeling, and Berkeley Springs. Each forum will start at 6 in the evening and will include discussions in small groups on core education issues. Governor Jim Justice called the special session to address teacher pay raises and other education issues. He asked legislators to meet with teachers, parents, and other stakeholders before returning to Charleston later this year. President of the West Virginia Education Association, Dale Lee, says the WVEA will also be holding its own set of educational town halls in all 17 of West Virginia's senatorial districts. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick.
Kentucky Agriculture Commissioner Ryan Quarles says the number of hemp products sold last year were more than 3.5 times higher than 2017, and the amount farmers were paid more than doubled. Quarles offered the Industrial Hemp Economic Report yesterday at the University of Kentucky. With the federal action to remove hemp from the Controlled Substances Act, Quarles says other states will move more heavily into hemp, but he feels Kentucky can remain the leader.
The industry is going to grow. It's important that Kentucky maintain and build a critical mass of not only the production, but also the processing. And the states that win and unleash the economic development of this crop will be the states that got started early, like Kentucky.
Quarles says it's unclear if hemp will completely replace tobacco in Kentucky. He says some farmers have made more money from hemp than burley, but others have lost money growing hemp. Still, hemp processors reported almost $58 million in gross product sales last year, compared to $16.7 million in 2017. People can be suspicious of end-of-life care, especially hospice. There's a perception that when hospice comes in, it's only for the last hours before someone dies. In the final story of the series about aging in Appalachia, Carol Lofton found that for some families, hospice services can not only help the dying live, but ease the caregiving burden on those families for weeks or months.
Hollywood tells us that love stories are about the beginning. Catching an eye across a crowded room, a first date, a dramatic proposal. We see little, if anything, after the fairy tale wedding. But for many, the greatest testament to love is not in the first moments, but the last. Sheila and Waitman Brown were married for 50 years. They were high school sweethearts and raised two children in rural Wyoming County in southern West Virginia.
He was a coal miner, and then we got married in 67. I graduated high school in 68. And then I got pregnant with my son in the latter part of 68, and he was shipped to Vietnam.
There, Waitman was exposed to Agent Orange. Combined with later years in the coal mines, Waitman struggled with his health. He had cancer 3 times during the course of his life. The last time, he was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer.
And then I would walk him down the stairs and put him in the shower, and I'd have to get in the shower with him and shower, you know, bathe him and stuff. I'd get him out and set him on the commode, and the time I got done drying him off, I was wore plumb out. And I stayed real tired all the time. And they said, well, this is what hospice is for. I said, hospice will help you with all this stuff.
They decided to try treatment, which the doctors told them would not cure the cancer, only prolong his life. He couldn't keep it up, so someone at the hospital recommended hospice. Sheila was pretty resistant at first. She says she was scared because she had been told that when hospice comes, you only have a few days left. And hospice doesn't always have the best reputation. A 2017 joint investigation between Time Magazine and Kaiser Health News found over 3,000 complaints that had been filed against the nation's 4,000 hospice organizations over a five-year period. The complaints referenced everything from hospice workers failing to show up to unreturned phone calls and broken hospital beds. Medicare now has a link on its website from which you can compare hospice agencies in your area. Most, like the ones that serve the Browns, are nonprofits and rate well. And most people, like the Browns, have a good experience. In fact, hospice worked with her family for almost a year.
Well, it helped my husband what time he had left when he felt good.
Landon Blankenship is the chief nursing officer of Hospice of Southern West Virginia, the agency that worked with Sheila and Waitman. He says from his perspective, the point of hospice is exactly the benefit that Sheila described.
Our goal is to make the last days the best days. A lot of people think hospice is for the dying. We tend to think hospice is for the living.
Blankenship says when hospice comes in, their goal is to help the patient live their last days with no pain, to be able to breathe freely, to accomplish that last bucket list item, attend their daughter's wedding, go to the family reunion, make one more birthday. Yet, in Southern West Virginia, he says, there are a couple hurdles for getting people to use it in the first place.
Well, we take care of our own. Getting in the home is the problem. Once you're in, you're treated like family. So it's just breaking through that, you know, that barrier there to actually have someone to accept you into their home.
This is a perception he thinks starts with late referrals from medical providers.
A lot of physicians hesitant to make referrals earlier on. Our rule of thumb is if you have a patient and you think that there's a possibility that they could pass within the next year, and we see those patients all the time, that's probably an appropriate time to go ahead and make a hospice referral.
Yet doctors are taught to treat and often try and save the patient, no matter the cost, which Blankenship thinks is the wrong tactic.
I don't think there's a lot of reframing of goals. Everybody wants hope. Everybody wants that next best treatment. Everybody thinks that it's in that next chemo, or it's in that next pill, or it's in this next surgery. The unfortunate thing is sometimes there is no hope in another treatment. So we need to get to the point, in my opinion, that we do a better job in the medical community of reframing our goals.
Which may mean teaching medical providers to sit down with patients and their families and truly talk through what their goals are for the next phase. For Waitman Brown, that was getting to his 71st birthday, which he did. Sheila threw him a huge party, and the community, including one of the hospice nurses on her day off, turned out to celebrate his life.
And it was snowing that day, but my house was packed out full. I mean, we had him a big birthday party, and he was tickled to death, but he didn't have enough oxygen to hardly blow his candles out.
2 months later, he was moved to the Bowers Hospice House in Beckley, where he could receive even more intensive care. He passed away shortly thereafter. Blankenship continues to check on Sheila periodically. She's got health problems of her own, and her son moved her from Wyoming County to just outside Charleston to be closer to him and her doctors. But she says when her time comes, she won't have any problem with using hospice herself. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:52. Becoming sunny today with high temperatures in the 40s and 50s. Mostly clear tonight with lows in the 20s. Partly sunny Wednesday with highs in the 50s. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the Clay Center in Charleston, presenting an evening with David Crosby and friends Thursday, May 30th at 7:30. Tickets and information at theclaycenter.org. West Virginia native Emily Calandrelli goes by the name Space Gal online. She has a passion for space exploration and getting more young people, especially girls, into science, technology, engineering, and math. She recently spoke in Charleston, and Eric Douglas caught up with her afterward.
You know, we live in exciting times because humanity is truly for the first time ever becoming a space-faring species. It's kind of like watching the ships cross the Atlantic for the very first time, or commercial airlines for the very first time taking flight. We are, for the first time ever, expanding our economic influence into the cosmos, and we are all here to bear witness to that. I find that pretty awesome. Thank you all for coming here, and I'm happy to take any questions you may have.
Approximately 200 people waited in the Culture Center Little Theater to hear Emily Calandrelli speak. There were excited 8-year-old girls in the front row waving copies of books, and more sedate adults who were interested to hear what the space gal had to say. This career was never in her plan. She was going to be an engineer. Calandrelli has degrees from West Virginia University and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, but she is enjoying every minute of it now.
West Virginia University was just the best place that I could have ended up at because the professors and everyone there were just so welcoming and so supportive and so encouraging of me as a woman in STEM that I could not have done it without their help. And, you know, I did well in my schooling. I got a 4.0 and I won a few national scholarships. And because of that, I was able to get to MIT where I did my master's programs. And then after that, I got the call to be a TV show host. It was a very serendipitous moment for me because I wasn't looking to do that. I wasn't applying to be a TV host, but they wanted someone with a background in aerospace engineering, and they found me because, you know, West Virginia did a really wonderful job of promoting me and my work. And so when they went searching for a space gal online, they found me.
Calandrelli is the executive producer and Emmy-nominated host of Fox's Exploration Outer Space. She is also a chief correspondent on Netflix's Bill Nye Saves the World, and writer and host of YouTube's Spotlight Space, a series from Lockheed Martin. Working on those shows has given her opportunities most never get the chance to experience, like weightlessness, even if it comes at a price.
I think the coolest thing that I've ever done in my life as the space gal has been riding on the Vomit Comet, which is this plane that is quite literally an 8,000-foot roller coaster in the sky. It's actually how they shot movies like Apollo 13, where the astronauts are floating. And so to this day, that's like the coolest experience I've ever had.
The ride lasts for an hour and a half of constantly climbing and descending. It has the name Vomit Comet for a reason. One way she uses her position to encourage young people, especially girls, into the STEM fields is through a series of children's books for kids ages 6 through 10, with a West Virginia girl as the hero.
So I'm the author of the Ada Lace Adventures. Ada is this third grader who loves science and technology and goes on adventures to solve mysteries with tech and gadgets that she builds herself. So the boys and girls that read my book, the message is mostly that, you know, as a kid, it is fun to be curious. It is fun to learn about science and technology. You don't have to be perfect at it. You can fail and try again until you get it right. And basically, I wanted to create a book that had a female as the lead character who loves STEM, and not just a girl, but a West Virginia girl leading these adventures.
Calandrelli sees a shortage of women in the STEM fields.
There's a number of reasons why we have this lack of women in STEM. For one, it's more of a welcoming problem when it comes to women in STEM. We see, for example, when I was in college in a 50-person class, I would be one of two, maybe three girls.
But she sees the possibility of it changing.
Seeing people like Wonder Woman or Captain Marvel and all of these wonderful, strong female characters on our screen are certainly, you know, just changing the game. They're adding this representation that women have never really seen before, and it makes me hopeful for the future.
Calandrelli's free talk was part of the Higher Education Policy Commission's Chancellor's STEM Speaker Series. It was supported by a grant from the National Science Foundation. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Eric Douglas.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.
Hi, this is Dave Mistich, senior reporter here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. I basically have one position in terms of politics, and here it is. Support your local news media. And why? That's because democracy works best if there are more people to cover government doing its thing. So make a pledge of support to West Virginia Public Broadcasting right now. Call 1-800-RADIO-87 or go to our website, wvpublic.org. And thanks.
This is West Virginia Public Broadcasting, WVPB Charleston, WVBY Beckley, WVBL Bluefield, WVPW Buchanan, WVWV Huntington, WVEP Martinsburg, WVKM Matewan, WVPM Morgantown, WVPG Parkersburg, WVDS Petersburg, WQAB Philippi, WVWS Webster Springs, WVNP Wheeling, and we're online at wvpublic.org. Becoming sunny today with highs in the 40s and 50s, clear overnight with lows in the 20s. Tomorrow, partly sunny skies with highs in the 50s. Chance of rain tomorrow night with lows in the 30s, and rain continues on Thursday with highs in the 40s and 50s. It's 8 o'clock. This is West Virginia Public Broadcasting.